victory out of apparent defeat. This week we will be studying Mark 6, 1-56. And these 56 verses commence the third missionary journey of Christ in Galilee. And as you look at the overview, you see that this section has been divided into four parts. Jesus Christ returns to Nazareth, and there he is rejected for the second time. Again he is in the synagogue. Again he is the teacher that amazes and thrills all sincere hearts. Even those who do not believe were astonished at his teaching. Where does this man get these things? All knew that Jesus Christ was uneducated in a formal way. He was no university graduate. He had gone through no theological seminary. They say to him, "Is not this the carpenter?" I like that term. In fact, I have noticed it several places in the gospel. The definite article identifies and emphasizes. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus one night, "Art thou the teacher of Israel?" Now here the people of Nazareth said, "Is not this the carpenter?" Even in his trade he had attained to notoriety. They knew his family, his mother Mary, his brother James, and his sisters. Now, it was perfectly correct what they said about him. He was the carpenter. He was the son of Mary. He did have brothers and sisters. But their problem was that they didn't go far enough. They didn't go beyond this. Jesus Christ was man among men. He was toiler among men. But he was also the Son of God. And this is where they made a mistake. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is without honor in his own house. Everywhere else he's honored, but among his own he is not honored." And as a sad result, he could work no mighty miracle there. The sick stayed sick, the devil-possessed were still possessed, the blind and the deaf and the dumb remained as they were, because they did not believe. And so he left for the last time. His friends and associates in the little town of Nazareth, and went throughout the villages teaching. The next part deals with the mission of the 12 apostles. They had now been with Jesus Christ for 2.5 years. They had observed everything he did. They had listened to everything he said. They had been given special instruction in private sessions, and now Jesus felt that they were ready to go out with the message of salvation. He was preparing them for their ministry after he had ascended to his Father. This was to be their first attempt, and they were to learn by experience so they could come back to him and discuss what they had done, their successes and their failures, and to get his advice. Before they went, Jesus gave them special instruction. They were to go 2 and 2, so that one could encourage the other. Verse 7. They should take nothing. They were to rely not on material resources. Only a staff, no scrip, no bread, no money. They should be shod with sandals. They should not have 2 coats. Wherever you go, he says, and you're invited, there remain. And if they don't accept you, don't waste any time. Shake off the dust of your feet and go to some other place where they will hear you. And so they set out. And they preached. And they healed the sick. And they cast out the devils. And everyone heard about what they had done. And Herod heard. And Herod's conscience stirred him up. He says, "This must be John the Baptist, risen from the dead." At this point, Mark introduces, in the third part of our lesson, the martyrdom of John the Baptist. From 14 to 29 of chapter 6, he tells us what had happened. Herod had married his brother Philip's wife. He had seduced her, he had persuaded her to leave her husband, and he had been illicitly married to a woman that he never should have joined with. John the Baptist heard it. And so John told Herod that this was something he ought not to have done. Mark tells us something very interesting about John. When Herod heard what John had said to her new husband, she was very angry. And she planned to kill John the Baptist. So Herod had John the Baptist arrested and put into safe keeping in a prison. Verse 20. He knew he was a just and holy man, and observed him, and heard him, and did many things, and heard him gladly. This word gladly is an interesting word. It's not the word that is used in other contexts in the gospel. It's a word indicating satisfaction, delight, eagerness, in a good sense. And I like to imagine Herod going in the quietness of the afternoon or evening and listening to John in his dungeon. Expound the prophets, tell of the Messiah whose shoe latchet he was not worthy to loose, and appeal to the monarch to do what he knew in his soul he ought to do. Herod did many things. I like to think of changes that came about in his life. Who knows what he might have become? But on his birthday, his courtiers and flatterers made a great party for him. And during the party, his stepdaughter danced. And Herod, bemused by liquor, carried away by the beauty of this young woman, promised her any gift to the half of his kingdom. Immediately the young woman went to see her mother, who blurted out, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist in a dish." Back in the banqueting hall, the girl came with the request. I can imagine that Herod was immediately sobered, but because of his oath, and because he did not wish to lose face in front of those who sat with him half drunk, verse 26, he sent an executioner who immediately brought back the head of John the Baptist on a dish. Half drunk, the lecherous Herod became a murderer of the Annunciator of Jesus Christ, the greatest of the prophets, and an abandoned woman who knew that she was doing what she ought not to have done in giving up her first husband and living with his brother, got some measure of satisfaction and vengeance. And when Jesus heard about this, he said, "We must go away into a quiet place in the country and rest a while." But his rest was short-lived, as part number 4 indicates. Pretty soon the multitudes were there, thousands upon thousands, loath to return home, hungry, weakened. Jesus said to his disciples, "Give them to eat. How can we bread that'll take a whole year's pay to obtain. See, a penny a day was the ordinary laborer's salary. How can we get 200 penny worth of bread? Jesus said to them, what have you got? They found the little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then Jesus organized them and fed them and took up 12 baskets full of fragments that the 5,000 could not eat. In the final episode, as a result of the feeding of the 4,000, the people wanted to make Jesus Christ king. The disciples wanted to make Jesus Christ king. In fact, they were stirring up the people to make him king. But Jesus sent them away in a ship while he took care of the multitude. And the fourth watch, early the next morning, Jesus walked on the waters and would have passed by. But the disciples thought he was a ghost and called out to him in their trouble. And immediately he came to them and stilled the water. A great calm ended the night's torment. As we think of these 5 episodes in this week's lesson, again we see Jesus Christ gaining victory. He rejected Nazareth, but his mother and his brothers finally believed. The people were rejecting him, the scribes and Pharisees and Herodians were turning against him, but the 12 were on his side, ready to take the gospel wherever he wished. Even though John the Baptist had been illegally murdered in his dungeon by Herod and Herodias and Salome, his very martyrdom kept alive his power and his ministry, so that when the 12 apostles preached, even the king recognized their ministry as being endorsed by John. While the bread of life was rejected by the leaders of God's people, the poor accepted it gladly. While the disciples had few resources that they could share with the people, what they had could be multiplied by Christ to feed all that needed feeding. With many baskets full of extras that could be taken to others in the neighboring villages. The disciples and the people wanted to make Jesus king. But before him was Calvary. And here again was another temptation of Satan. Years before, Satan had said, all these kingdoms I will give to you if you bow down and worship me. But there was no easy way. The crown could not be obtained until Calvary's hill had been climbed. Satan came to Christ and said, we'll make you king now. He said to the people, make him king now. He said to the disciples, make him king now. But Jesus had to dismiss the disciples, had to dismiss the people and spend all night in prayer, gaining peace and confidence and trust to fit in with God's way. And while the disciples were on the sea, Satan again attempted to destroy them in the tempest, so that those upon whom the kingdom would be founded would be drowned. But Jesus is there, meeting with them, even though not fully recognized, even though thought to be a ghost, he comes and whispers good cheer and peace, and dispels their fear. And as a result, through these apparent attacks, through these underminings of his ministry, Jesus Christ triumphs. And in this week's lesson, we can emphasize what Jesus did, particularly to the 12. He told them how they could minister. He He showed them how their ministry was but a building on what John the Baptist had done. He used them to feed the thousands, the 5,000. And he protected them when Satan would destroy them. And even though they misunderstood his ministry and would have made him king by force, he still loved them and guided them and kept them safe through the storms of life.